Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
I just emailed it, hey, we're live at night, and we're just waiting on Jeff and JD. I'm with Josh and Drew, and we were just talking off camera, so we figured let's just come live. Why not? Okay. Sorry, there was a technical glitch. You guys can hear me better now?
I can hear you
much better.
Okay, that's good to hear. Jeff sent me a text and said, please send me the link to my email. How are you guys doing? How's quarantine treating
you? I was outside, so I just drank a bug. That is my hand just doing that.
Nice.
I'm outside right now, and I hope this is not over an hour long. The bugs are coming.
Cheers. What do you got?
I got Sierra Nevada Hazy IPA.
Nice. I got a Kona Big Wave. Golden.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Kona Brewing Company.
Very good, brown ale.
Yeah. So, Josh, what are you drinking?
Water. Straight up. I'm freaking
dying. I love it.
I'm dehydrated from building this thing all day long. I'm exhausted and dehydrated.
That's dihydro monoxide, right? Dihydro monoxide, it's very poisonous. It can kill you if you ingest too much of it in your lungs.
There you go.
He's the biggest polar out of all of
us. Straight up pure H2O.
Dihydro monoxide, okay? It's a kind of...
Yes.
Well, last week I had... hang on. Lots happening behind the scenes while we're live here. Hang on. J.D. Land just sent me a... friend request, and I'm going to send him over the link.
So if people ask questions, do we see it in the chat on the side?
You should. We'll see. So where it says comments, if people ask questions, we can pop them up. If anybody asks the question, if we're lucky enough.
Can I text in here as well?
Yeah. Private chat. There's comments and private chat.
Ooh, all right, live comments.
Sorry for the delay, guys. We're just getting set here. A couple of people needed the link. You know.
Okay. Cool.
No exact science. Yes.
We're learning the technology as we go along. It's all good.
Okay.
That's a lovely
work.
So. I can't see it. So sometimes the comments pop through and sometimes they don't. Kinder Rock says, what's
up? Hey, Steffi.
Oh, Tess. Yeah, there we go.
Boom.
So I can pop
it
up here too. And then we have Jeff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Josh, why are you upside down?
Because you do not understand technology. That's why.
Yeah, well, here, aren't I?
It must have been a pain in the ass to get in here, though.
Wait, what?
I said this must have been a pain in the ass to get in here. You know,
you didn't send it to. Yeah. Well, my wife had to help me, so.
And then we also have.
Hey, JD.
All right.
Why is Josh hanging like a bat?
I'm. You missed the part. I'm literally half in a treehouse.
Yeah.
Really?
Really. Like decking.
Wow.
Josh decided to. We all decided to, you know, keep it simple in the house. The normal.
That's awesome. And Josh, I already got in my treehouse too.
Mix it up. I love it. Anyway, welcome to this live at night. Finally, we're all here. It's exciting. Last week I had some female photographers on, so I thought it'd be fun to have some of the dudes on. To give their take on all the things going on right now, and then also just sort of how they approach weddings and the industry. So before we pop into your the way you look at weddings and all that stuff, I want to know, how is this the coronavirus affecting each one of your businesses? And let's start with Josh. You've been in a long time. You've all been in a long time. You know, what has this been like for you?
Okay, so long time. I've been long time, 24 years now. So yeah, a couple of days. Everything's been pushed. Every single event has been pushed clear out till what? July. right now. And I and to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those July actually pushed to.
No.
How about you get out of the treehouse, Josh, or we can understand you?
So the Wi-Fi might be a little bit stronger out of the treehouse. Yeah.
Wait, let me try this.
That's his new home. Okay.
He's living here. He's Gilligan.
Turn that off.
Jeff, what about you, man? I mean,
wait, is this better?
No, you're literally frozen. No. Right,
wait, give it a second. It's better. No, I froze. At all.
Yeah, you're totally.
You made it worse, Josh. If there was a way you did, you made it worse.
What's the bad setting? That's what you're on. Anyway, Jeff, what about you, man? You've been in a long time too. I'm muting you, Josh, because you're still looking for instructions. So until you get your situation situated, you're
frozen
muted.
Too.
Yeah. What about you, man? You've been in this a long time. First, have you ever seen anything like this in your time in this, where it's turned into something like this?
A pandemic?
Yeah. Or, I mean, like a pandemic in the wedding industry, where everything's being postponed and dates are being moved.
No, I don't even remember if 9/11, what was happening during that. No, because 9/11 happened, and I had a wedding literally that weekend. Actually, Drew, you probably helped me with it. In Red Bank?
9/11, I was in ninth grade, but that's cool.
All right, Pete, maybe you were on video for that. Is that true, Drew? Is that true?
Yeah, I was in ninth grade in science class. I remember watching it on TV.
Maybe I was wishing for you and it never happened.
Years later.
It materialized.
But how's it been for you, Jeff? Is everything just postponing?
Everything. I am packed. No weddings have canceled yet. No, dude, of course. I've lost everything so far.
Yeah.
Everything up to August right now. I have June 6th, I have a Nassauian wedding and they still haven't changed it, believe it or not.
I have a May 31st, similar situation. So
yeah, I have June 6th.
They want to change the date, but the venue, who I'm not going to name out here, will not let them change it until Governor Murphy says that they have to change it.
Oh, wow. Really?
A classic venue. Really looking after them. Drew, what about you?
I went on unemployment early. I got on unemployment in March because essentially all my wedding's canceled as of March, April, May, June. I have one wedding hanging on in July, but the previous one, July 18th, just switched out. Luckily, I got the PPP loan, which eventually I can plug into June 30th is what time you have to hire by. So I'm trying to apply any type of loans that come in that are forgivable to people's like reschedule, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they reschedule for 2021, we're losing dates, you know?
Yeah.
So you're simply, we're already down money. Like we can't get that money back. And if they reschedule for a Saturday in June, chances are we're going to lose that money, period, which is insane. But the way I've been kind of putting it is there's not a ton of people. So as long as the money is there to fund it from the government, I've been saying, hey, look, this is what it is. Pay your second deposit. The second deposit is non-refundable. And we just kind of work out the system, but I don't want to charge people for things that we're getting money back for. Yeah. I'm right in the same boat. I mean, we're looking at, you know, right now we're in July, August. I'm hoping we get back into it September or October.
Yeah.
That's being optimistic because even then people are still going to be scared. So my guess is next year, which is crazy, as long as we can stay afloat until then, it's just insane. But that's why I'm asking for a second deposit when they reschedule for the date, you know. So that's
smart. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And JD, how about you? And by the way, nice to meet you. I know we've never met before, but
maybe we talked once or twice, but we never really met like this thing.
Drew and I are like good Facebook acquaintances, I guess.
Nice. We'll become that now. How's it going for you, though, man? We lost Josh.
We just got rid of Josh completely.
Jumped out of the treehouse. He realized it was not going well for him.
No, I got it. That's the way I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's been the same thing for me. Everybody's been rescheduling. I know there's been a lot of talk about people, how you should reschedule your spring weddings. Everything for me, I've been rescheduling them for whatever available. Saturday 2021, it's yours. Whatever you want, it's yours. However, I just had some Septembers reach out to reschedule, which you're not required to. There's kind of that weird place you're in where you want a Saturday in June. So I have started charging them for Saturdays with the ability to reschedule for a Friday or a Sunday for free. Letting them know if they wait and we get to July and it looks like we're not going to be able to have gatherings over 50 people, Saturdays are yours as well. But if you want to do it right now, you're going to have to pay because, like Drew said, we're losing money every time someone reschedules. Yeah. It's a whatever your retainer is that hit you're taking on your income.
The sucky thing is we can't get insurance for this, but a couple can get insurance for rescheduling their wedding.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part that I try and tell people. I'm like, yeah, I have an October wedding, JD, reschedule. And I was like, guys, your wedding's in October. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, guys, your wedding is in October.
Right.
I'm like, how do I justify losing income because you want to reschedule your wedding because you're feeling uncomfortable? I understand where you're coming from. And that's why I'm not being like, hey, by the way, you owe a shit ton of money. Am I allowed to say shit ton?
Sorry. Yeah, totally. It's
okay. That's why I'm not saying like, you know, it's a nominal
preferred. Fee. Cursing is preferred. Yeah.
It's a nominal fee, but my thing is like, if you're in October and you don't have to reschedule, and you know, I understand where they're coming from. It's just tough. It's like, guys, you've got to understand. Like, and actually, the crazy thing is after I told them that, I was like, look, if nobody inquires about your date or you reschedule that date or somebody takes your date, then it's fine. I will waive the fee. And a week after they asked me, I had two people inquire about the date. And I'm like, oh, great. That's awesome. Now, I don't want to feel jaded by it. But at the same time, I'm like, this is the reason why I have that policy in effect.
Yeah.
It's a really tough place to be for everybody because you don't want to be the jerk that does this to somebody. But at the same time, there's no safeguard we as professionals can take for it because we already have insurance. But you can't take insurance out that a couple is going to cancel against you because people obviously will take advantage of that.
Totally. And there might be some taking advantage in this situation too. I feel like, you know, I feel like the best thing that couples can do is go with the process, right? If they say that your wedding is May and June and July, you can push, that's okay. But when you start talking about, you know, these later in the year dates switching a year later, I don't know necessarily that you're in the right to, you know.
Well, I should also say that
why they would want to switch a year later because this whole, they don't know what's going to happen. But by the same token, you can't expect for the same rules to apply for somebody that's in the April, May, June scenario.
I should also say I haven't charged a single person that changed their date in April, May, June. If it's a required, like it is what it is, you know. Right. I'm not gonna be a jerk about that and be like, you owe money. Yeah. That's just not gonna happen. That's, you can't have your wedding. But when it goes to wedding dates that you can still have, and the thing is the way I've been trying to work it is if you have a date where they can still have it as of now, they owe that second deposit as a retainer, right?
Right.
But at the same time, if it comes up to that date where they can no longer have it because of everything going on, it gets waived. It goes applied to their balance and applied.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be as fair as possible. It's just, you know, it's one of those lines you kind of have to cross as it comes. And
yeah.
Because if nobody pays any money and we have all these scheduled weddings where all of a sudden we felt Jeff and Diddy and, you know, everybody, Josh was all fine. We're like, oh, great. This is great. This year looks awesome. We're going to be fine. And all of a sudden we're like, well, what do we do now? Because we have no income. You know,
literally nothing.
Right. It's tough. It's really tough to be fair to our clients and ourselves, and that's the hard line to kind of play.
Yep.
No matter what, somebody's going to be upset.
Now, Josh, I keep muting you just to let you know because of the noise that you're all in a treehouse, so you're getting some exterior feedback.
I'm not. I went closer to the router. It's still bad, huh?
Yeah. But
why can't you just go in your house, Josh?
It's a fair question.
Yeah, that's where he lives.
It's a fair question.
He built that for a reason.
But anyway, if anybody wants to ask questions for any of these guys, you can do that. But it's best if you do it on YouTube or the Facebook the page, the Live at Night podcast page. Otherwise, we're not seeing them. So those are the places to ask questions so that there's a problem with the feed here. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of where we all are in sort of the same boat, aren't we, with that? Let me ask you guys, what are you telling your couples? How are you making them feel better about what's happening in their situations now?
So I'm just going to say I'm getting I had a surprise wedding for all my friends and family in December. I just got married. But we have a actual wedding where actually Jeff is actually going to be our photographer. And that's in November, November 8th. So I'm
almost November 7th, Joe.
No, it should be November 8th. Yeah, hey, cross up November 8th.
You said November 7th.
I might have messed up.
Dude, that's a Saturday, man.
Well, did you get any inquiries for that date?
I knew I should have sent you a contract, you bastard.
November 8th. Cross up November 8th. No, I said November 7th, November 8th, so this way you can come and party.
There you go.
No, I don't remember that. It's November 8th or 7th.
It's November 8th, a Sunday.
Use.
Oh, man. Well, thank God that we resolved that.
Yeah, thanks for having this meeting there, Don.
Anything.
But yeah, I mean,
we solved much tonight. We did get the dates right.
We got Drew's wedding date, everybody. It's November 8th.
If anybody shows up.
Everybody who's watching on your Facebook stream are like, what the fuck? How come I wasn't invited?
I haven't got invited.
Yeah,
that's the crazy thing.
And again, guys, I see people are commenting. Don't do it on the profile. You have to do it in the page. Sorry. Yeah, okay. We're not getting any of your comments. But go ahead. Sorry.
And yeah, I mean, the big thing is you reassure them that you understand where they're at, because we as an industry are also going through it.
Yeah. And,
you know, as bad as a lot of it is for them, I mean, we have 30 million people unemployed, and I bet you a quarter of them to half of them are in the event industry, you know, and it's a tough place to be. So you have to do what's smart for your friends and family. And as information comes out, we just kind of roll with the punches, you know. But we do as best we can to supply them with what we can possibly do for now and be fair with them and everything else.
Yeah. Jeff, what about you? What are you telling your brides and grooms?
Kind of just, I'll do everything I can for them. I'm not charging any rescheduling fees or transferring, you know, nobody wanted this to happen. This is all really, you know, uncharted waters in a way. And I'm just, you know, I'm here for them. And I'm so excited to go back to shooting again, just because I feel like this has just made, you know, weddings, they were important before, but I just feel like now it's another level of family, yeah, friends, and being able to be together and everything. And, you know, that's it. I'm doing everything I can to be on their side.
Yeah.
I'm not charging fees. I'm not, you know, they want a Saturday next year, whatever, you know, whatever.
It sucks.
It doesn't though. It's like, I just want to take care of them. And it's like, it's this year and next year. It's like, these 2 years are going to suck in a way.
Yeah.
Like, big deal. And the whole scheme of it all, you know, it's 2 years. So what? We'll all get through it and we'll move on. And it's just going to be like that first wedding where we can party and, you know, it's going to be epic.
I guess that's a good question, too. What do weddings look like, JD, moving forward? What do they look like when we first start getting back in? Is everyone in masks? Are people staying 6 feet apart? You know?
Yeah.
You save that question for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you what you're going to tell your couples too, but I went right to you. Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea. I could see smaller elopement weddings coming back and maybe some people going that route. I've even been pumping some adventure session stuff, and hey, I know some great spots in the backcountry in the Northeast. Hit me up. We can do an elopement, nothing. So
yeah,
it seems like everybody's just waiting to see what happens. And I mean, I honestly would be surprised if it comes in the fall. I don't tell couples that.
Yeah. I'm
trying to get them back to that. I don't give my opinion at all to couples. I tell them what the policies are, keep me in the loop, keep communication lines open. But other than that, I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. A weird question. Hey, Josh, what about you? You can come off the mic now. You're welcome back to the
You can come out of Facebook jail.
Now he's gone.
Oh, he's bad.
No. What I turn my video off and my audio on. So hopefully that works better. Is that better?
No.
Just come back.
Damn it.
We can see both. Go ahead. Just mute yourself when everybody else is.
I can't get any closer. Okay. What were the questions? We get in the future, and it's going to be totally different. I actually wrote all my predictions for the next 2 years, basically. To be blunt, like, it kind of sucks. I do kind of predict we're going to lose a bunch of venues right off the bat. Mm. Ones that just won't be open. And like I like Jeff was saying, it's a lot more family now. There's a lot more support now. So we got to focus on that, especially. But what we get in the future, how things are going to be handled, dude, I have no idea. Business-wise, I think JD is right where we're going to see a lot of smaller things.
Yeah.
Elopements, we got to focus on that business-wise. But as far as how people do it now, I don't see like the mainstream of 200 plus weddings for another year, frankly. So,
yeah, I feel like if you're planning a 300 plus person wedding, it's not happening. You got to reset to next year,
right? Right. Yeah. Those all have to reset, honestly, and it sucks. But
now, why do you say? I'm just curious.
My first client.
I'm just curious. Why do you say you're going to lose some venues too? That's the first time I've heard that. So it's an interesting point.
I think we're going to lose. So. It's business, right? Some venues, and I'm not naming venues. I have no back rumor or anything like that, frankly. Right. It's my prediction.
Yeah.
If a venue is not doing well going into this, they might just be like, we're not going to reopen.
Yeah. Well, that's happening in the restaurant.
And that, yeah. Right. Exactly. Precisely. And then you're gonna lose our larger things. Who did we lose?
Lost Drew.
We lost Drew. So we lost Drew. He's like, I don't want to hear what Josh has to say.
Nobody can hear what Josh has to say.
We're all doing our best, man.
Come on, Josh. You talk about technology, man. You're upside down, and I can't hear you.
All right, I'm gonna mute you. We got Drew back here.
I hit the back button.
Okay. Oh, it happens to me too.
Kick Drew out. So that's four people.
Okay, so we're gonna mute Josh again because it's just so hard to hear him.
I'm Josh.
Go ahead. And he's got some like really valid points too. And I'm like,
I'd love to hear what he's
hearing. It. I'm like, I'm doing this shit, you know, and I got headphones on anyway. It's an interesting point. Have you guys think about that, about venues? Do you think we'll lose some venues?
You're gonna lose things no matter what, you know, it's people that can able to survive it and people that can't, you know, you look at even photographers in general and people that have some type of bank system or saved up a little bit of money can kind of weather it along with the federal or unemployment and stuff like that. But that's the same thing for any type of venue in general. It's just going to be more of a gray area as far as how people that put money into it get money back. So the question is, are we going to lose venues and the client?
Yeah.
Versus are we going to lose, you know, or are both of us going to lose them, you know? There's no doubt that businesses are going to close because of this. It's just which ones are. So Josh makes a really good point on that.
Yeah, definitely. Jeff, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I you know, it's like Drew said and Josh tried to say. you know, I don't know. If people are smart and they've saved and they do a business the way a business is supposed to run, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird that after a month that everybody's freaking out. It's been 4 weeks.
I mean,
you know,
you've seen this too, right? You know, like if you go online, Facebook, and since we're all on like photography forums and whatnot, how much photography gear is currently for sale? You know, people trying to be like, oh, well, I got nothing to shoot now. So here, I'm going to sell these cameras.
Yeah.
Have all of you seen that, or is it just me? And
I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to get out of it now. They don't know what the future of it is. They probably, if you were somebody that just jumped in and you weren't doing very well anyway, sure, you're going to fall off at this point, sell the camera you get at Christmas, and just open your new business with your Rebel. And now you're going to, now you're out of it.
Well, not the Rebel. The Rebel is a very serious professional camera.
It ain't the camera, it's how you use it, Pete.
Yeah, fair enough. Sure.
Like, just get a big lens for it and you'll be fine. Get a 500, the Sigma Bigma, and you can shoot anything.
There you go. So anybody who is aspiring to start out, that's all you need to do. So listen, why don't you guys tell me a little bit about how you want to shift gears here, about how you guys kind of got into doing this, and we'll do the abridged version of these stories. Because I want to talk about, more so about how you approach weddings, but I think it's a good place to sort of get into like how you got into it. Okay. And we'll give you a little pop up. Somebody got this in. Drew Noel, do you need a drink? All right.
Why aren't you drinking your own beer, Drew? Why are you drinking shit out of a can?
No, because I brought it earlier tonight and we already drank it all.
Your beer?
Yeah. I made a beer called Socially Distant Mango. It was a mango beer.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's Socially Distant Mango.
It's good. I get the play on words. Yeah. It's good.
Nice. Yeah, pretty good.
So Jeff, how did you get into this?
I thought Drew was going first.
Well, he jumped in, but we have to go.
He had his arm raised. I saw his arm raised.
But we go Jeff first because then Drew.
Mine first, then Jeff can.
Fine. Sure. Go ahead, Drew.
My start because I met Jeff back in beginning of college. I had a professor that was like, hey, you take good pictures. Meet this dude. And I literally rolled up to Jeff and I was like, hey, my name's Drew. And he's like, cool, hold this. And I was like, we're fucking diffuser. All right. This sounds great. I'll do this. And I was
a funny one here. Hang on, let me share this with you guys. Sean Medwick wants to know who's doing Josh's video. Blair Witch.
Josh is now in a bunker somewhere. Dude, what'd you go to the basement now, Josh? I mean, where are you now?
A shout out to Sean because he's an awesome assistant. If anybody ever needs one, he's the most helpful person you will ever meet.
There you go.
We
got that out there.
Wait.
That's probably why so you would say that. Yeah, what's that, Josh?
What's up, Sean?
My video was awesome. This started. The Wi-Fi sucks, apparently. But my video, Drew saw it. My video was on point when we started.
Dude, I vote Josh out, man. Josh is out.
You are the weakest link.
It's turning into Survivor. You're in the woods.
You're fired, Josh. How about that?
I started with Jeff. Way back when, I had a teacher introduce me to him, and I was the new school, or like the techno beaver, and Jeff was the old school soul, as he couldn't figure out how to get onto this live chat. I was all about the technology of the day, and even when we started, we were still using light meters with digital cameras, and we were still shooting film and everything else. And him and I kind of grew together, and Josh was in that whole group. Oh, he's gone now. So I knew Josh then and everything else, and it just kind of grew off that, where we worked together for years and we still do.
Yeah.
We shoot Jeff and Drew weddings, for big people that went two really good photographers, or I don't want to say really
that's
good,
a
two no, photographers no, with
like
two
a master class. Just,
yeah. Take both sides of it and whatnot. And it just kind of grew from there. And, Jeff started way back before me, just not saying you're double my age at one point, but that's fine. And Jeff, you can take it away from there.
Yeah. So he set you up there. That's how he set you up. So you're
next. That's how Drew and I roll, man.
Yeah.
It's all right. Take it.
So talk to me about how you got into this. You were doing rock and roll and stuff.
Yeah, well, I've always been into photography, even in it was the only class I actually passed in school, pretty much, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to college. And right away, I worked with a guy in Red Bank, Danny Sanchez. And he had a friend. This is the short version. And he had a friend, Mark Weiss, who actually is putting out a book at the end of this month. He was like the rock and roll guy at the time. And my first day on the job with him, he's like, Danny introduced me and said, can you work tomorrow? I said, sure. He said, be at the studio at whatever time. I didn't even know what we're doing. And it was Bon Jovi's Slip Around Wet album cover shoot.
Wow.
So that was my first day on the job. And
that must have been sort of intense, right? Dude, you must have been like, holy shit.
Dude, like this guy's making a living shooting rock and roll bands. And that was it. And I did that. I mean, not that I didn't plan this, but behind me, you could see on my wall that platinum album that's from Blind Melon.
Nice.
So we did work them. And all those photo passes there and the Black Crows on the other side, I did a lot of work with them. And that's how I started. And then I did that for like 10 years, and a woman at a record company wanted her wedding shot. And I was like, I've never shot a wedding. She said, I've never been married, Jeff. And I said, all right, let's do it. And that was it. And then I shot the wedding totally edgy and rock and roll, and she loved it. And I said, all right, I'll shoot weddings this way. And that's how I started.
That's awesome.
The weddings. Yeah, man. Now 1,200 weddings later. So
yeah, I mean, and it's a number of years. How many years have you been in this?
26 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. So when I asked you before about, have you ever seen anything like this before? No. You're talking almost nearly 30 years in the industry.
No, not
at all. Never been a year where you were like, what the fuck am I going to do this summer?
Yeah, you know? No, it's very odd. It's crazy, man. Yeah, it is. There's times when I'm like, well, everything's fine. And then there's times like, wow, this is really fucked up. Like I have my calendars here that go month by month. They're literally blank.
I can think of where I was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a pretty busy weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and it's not happening.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so, for JD, how did you get in, man?
I mean, I wanted to be a sports photographer in high school, and then the Navy offered a 17-year-old $7,000. So that all went on hold while I did my life. When I got out, I got engaged, and we were paying for everything out of pocket. So I hired a photographer, and it was garbage. And I went, you know what?
Yeah.
I can do this. So I did 5 free weddings. This was 2011. Broke up with my now ex-fiance. Continued to do weddings. And it kind of took off from there. You know? Almost 10 years ago now.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I mean, I came in doing video the same way. I didn't like who did my wedding videography. Oh, and Josh knows who that is. Anyway, Josh, how did you break into all this? I'm going to unmute you. So now you're allowed to speak.
Hold up. Just got closer.
Unmute Mike.
Can we mute the others so there's no audio from them using up my bandwidth? I think that's the only way it'll work. How did I get into it? I ran my family's photo lab for like 10 years, and people kept coming in saying, can I shoot my wedding? And I started out, a buddy of mine also had a lab, and he and I did our first wedding for like 4.
Dude, I'm in the freaking mountains, man, right now. I got better Wi-Fi than you.
Unbelievable. Really? We don't even know what happened.
I thought you were muted.
You left us on a...
We got mailed by Pony Express where I am still, Josh. We got better Wi-Fi.
You left us on a cliffhanger. Who does that in the middle of the... man. So anyway, what happened? You were in the lab and people came in and said, I'm trying to do like an interpreter's version of it now.
is my video better at least now?
No, nothing is better. keep stopping. You're like Max Hedrick. Well, it was going to be good. Anyway, so you got into it, and you've been at it a long time.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
Good job, Josh.
Too many of us.
One of the best.
I'm going mute again. Screw you guys. I'm going.
Josh is like, listen, you.
Oh, you heard that.
Yeah, I can't believe you're saying things.
There's so much instruction. Listen, if you want to comment, listen, there's a lot of great comments happening right now. Here, Jenny Orsini wrote 3 of them. Marissa wrote a nice one. But I'm going to tell you have to go to the page, Live at Night Podcast, and then we can see it here. Nobody can see this. So, I mean, that's like the 4th time. Anyway.
Where are they commenting?
Yeah, I mean, here we got, you know, Jim DeRocker got it.
Yeah, Jim.
He understood it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we got Marissa says love to Jeff Tisman, Drew Noel, and Pete Ferrero. She basically said, fuck you, JD and Josh. Jimmy Orsini, bizarre times. Drew and I had a wedding yesterday, and she put a sad face. So, here we go. That is bizarre times.
Anyway, yeah, we were supposed to be shooting yesterday. I can't remember what it was. I'm just kidding. Everything's a blur now.
At some point, you guys all definitely start creating a style, or you get into this, right? You're working for people, you're whatever it is, you're assisting, and at some point, you all start to achieve something.
It's our time.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm hearing myself back. At some point, you guys all definitely
first time caller, long time listener.
Who's playing it back? Drew, it's you. You're assisting, and at some point, you all start to achieve something.
Who, Drew? Is that you?
What are you talking?
Yeah, it's true.
Just playing with your phone.
It's true. I muted him, and we don't hear it anymore.
I hear it still.
Yeah, I muted him, and now it's gone. So. Look, Drew,
it's the worst thing in the world.
Who's playing it back? Drew.
I just muted my shit, so if you're still hearing it, it's not me.
We're not hearing it anymore.
Is that you?
What are you talking?
I don't know, man. It's playing back and on your end for some reason, so you're muted. Anyway, Jeff, talk to me a little bit about this. A lot of technical glitches today. Whatever the fuck. Guys, I'm sorry. So how do you – and I'll ask the two people that can speak – how do you develop that style over time, Josh?
Yes,
no, Jeff. I'm sorry. Josh is like frozen, and it caught me before I went.
I'm constantly rethinking my style. I just took an amazing 5-day workshop with like my favorite photographers in the industry right now, Two Man, Lanny and Erica, man, and it was amazing. Like, I'll never forget, and I won't mention whose name it was. I had a conversation with a peer, and he said, why do you keep taking seminars and workshops? He's like, I know everything there is to know. What do you keep doing this for? And I just was like, you'll never know it all. And I just want to learn. I just want to keep learning. I mean, I learned JD, he just gave a workshop, and I wanted to go. And, you know, he's got an amazing style. And Drew, I still learn from. And Josh, like, you just constantly learn. So there's not like a style in a way. But what I want to do mostly in my photos is capture who the people are.
Yeah.
You know, not so much like, oh, how am I going to light? I want to know who my couples are and then capture who they are.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of humor in my photos and a lot of, I don't know, I feel like energy and that kind of stuff and the portrait stuff, but then that stuff aside, it's about moments and capturing life, you know? So it's an ever evolving style. It's not like I have a style, at least I don't think I do, you know? So
yeah. I pulled up some images. Would you say this is a signature Jeff Tisman shot with the clouds and all this?
Yeah, it used to be. I mean, if people still love it, I still do it. It's great. I love it, but I want moments more.
Yeah.
You know? Like more about capturing a feeling in a photo. Like I just got an amazing review from a bride, Pleasantdale. Her name was Nina, if she's out there listening. It was this incredible review. She just wrote it and I it's somewhere, but it was said something about any photographer take the photo, but Jeff Tisman, you're gonna feel the photo. And that she wrote this whole huge thing, but that one sentence was everything to me, that I want you to feel the emotion in it and feel what it was at that moment. Was, you know, everyone could shoot a wedding, you know, big deal. You shoot enough pictures.
Incredible review.
She just wrote it and I'm hearing myself again.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I'm going for. So it's an ever evolving thing. It's not, I don't want just a style. You know, if a bride, not that I shoot light and airy, but if she likes something like that, you know, I'll give it to her. You know, like I'm there to capture their day. It's not about me.
But the sky stuff, it was definitive for you for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And it was, you know, I don't want to get into all that because people can do that now with just Photoshop now and just put a sky in and, you know, all that, you know.
But where did that come from?
The sky thing?
Yeah.
My God, back in my rock and roll days. I used to carry generators with me. I used to use Dynalights, and they were, you know, I had to plug them into a generator and be like, get my light. I have like, you know, I'll never forget. I did a shoot with a band, and it was a walk up to a rooftop, and we carried this. Oh my God. It must've been like 400 pounds of generator up to the top of the roof. And it was like vibrating across the roof. So anyway, that was like my rock and roll thing. I always used off camera flash for my bands, and it just, again, I brought it into my weddings. You know,
it's cool, man, because you were doing rock and roll, but there had to be a part of you when you started doing that where you were like, I wonder if this is going to translate to weddings.
Yeah, but like I said, I shot that woman at the record company's wedding who wanted something different. So it wasn't just, you know, I'm going to poof your dress and do a twirl. I don't want to do that.
No.
You know, I never wanted to. So I don't, you know.
And you don't. And I think it's what defined you as what you are. It's some incredible images. I'll come back to you. I have another image of yours that I'll go with. Okay. So JD, talk to me a little bit about, you know, kind of creating your style. We're going to give Josh another opportunity to join us here. A little bit better, Josh.
Now he's in the bunker. It puts the lotion on the skin, Josh.
Yes.
A little bit better. A little bit better.
Wait, how's my audio?
You might be allowed in the room. We'll see.
They're coming for us.
Yeah.
My phone was on fire when I unplugged it. Like, it was super hot.
Oh, hot. Okay. Yeah. I thought you would get blown up, but everybody telling
no,
you.
No.
Go into the room.
Yeah, right. No, it was like, it was really warm. I don't know what the heck was going on with it, but that the issue was the phone.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
This is better. Yes.
Yes. Way better.
Yeah, way better.
Not even that loud anymore. So that's, it's great. we were talking to JD. How do you sort of kind of, now I feel like starting now, how did it go for you in terms of, you know, developing a style and whatnot?
I mean, the reason I started shooting weddings was because I was hiring a photographer where everything was creating a Pinterest board to my then fiance at the time, which for me didn't resonate with what I thought wedding photography would be. So I started photographing them, and I never second shot. I never did any of that. I just did a couple free weddings so that I could focus on storytelling, which turned into photojournalism, which turned into eventually going to Foundation Workshop and learning a little more photojournalism and studying all these books back here. And it's become over the years where the last 3-4 years, I've probably been as pure of a photojournalist outside of like a Tyler Working that I've met. So I'll do pose portraits, bridal party stuff, family formals, all of that. But everything else outside of that time is 100% hands off. So I don't tell them where to stand. I don't stage first looks anymore. I don't stage first looks with the dads anymore. I don't tell them where to put the dress on. Everything is what it happens, as if there is no photographer there.
That's cool.
That's what you're hiring me for. Most of my couples are pretty reserved, and they're a little more about not just themselves, not that that's a bad thing, but they're really about wanting to tell the story of their family, their maid of honor they've known in first grade. So all of that stuff comes from I probably spend more time with my clients before the wedding day than I do on their actual wedding day.
That's interesting. Yeah. I got an image here from your Facebook or Instagram. I forget, but I got a couple of them, but I'm hoping this is you.
That is me. That is the portrait.
Nice. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So those are where we go through with their portrait stuff and what you guys want to do and what they want to do. This was a few years ago before I really started dialing in necessary what my ideal couple was.
Yeah.
Where, and it still happens to this day, where people, I end up working with people who are a little more portrait oriented. So we did a lot of portraits on that.
Yeah, it's nice. Very good stuff. Okay, Josh, I'm going to hand you the football here. We're all
gonna hope. You've extended so much grace to my technology issues tonight. I am so appreciative of all of that.
I'm gonna allow you to answer the question about the photo labs and how that came out, because you left us on a cliffhanger how you got in.
Okay.
And then you can also say from there how you developed your style.
The second one's gonna be rough. Okay, I know that. Anyway, I had to think about it for a second. Yeah. A hard question. Yeah. Anyway, I grew up in a photo lab. As cliche as it sounds, my family owned a big photo. Like when back in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have mini labs. Your lab was the size of a ShopRite, and my family ran a lab that size. So I started working there in mid 80s, and then right around mid 90s as I was managing it, around 95, 96. I kept on having customers ask me, can you shoot my wedding? And I'm like, I process your film. I never wanted to do this, to be honest. It was weird. Me and a buddy of mine, we started out shooting like little things, like commercial stuff, auction galleries, golf courses, mostly commercial things at first. And we always said, I was like, well, I'm not doing events. And then I walked into a local studio, ESP Studios, and they were in Wharton. And I met John and Diane Maneri, and they said, come out with us. And I did. And that's how I got into it.
Nice. You know? Okay. That worked very, we all heard you.
You know, if when I'm allowed to see you again.
Okay. Anyway, so now talk to me about developing your style. I have I think this is you. It is.
Yes, that is mine.
We confirm that this is yours.
I got soaking wet taking that photo. I was under an umbrella. Nice. That she I remember talking to her a week ahead. I was like, hey, you know, or a couple days ahead. I don't talk weather a week ahead in advance. I talk it like 2 days. She's like, don't you talk to me. I don't want to. I was like, I'm writing a new blog about like bad weather. She's like, I don't want to make that blog post. And I'm like, it's going to happen. So sure enough, she made it throughout ceremony, park, everything, and got to the reception. It started to pour. And I was like, come on outside. And she's like, okay. And she comes out. They're perfectly dry. I was soaked because I'm outside. They're under the overhang. That's at the Palace in Somerset.
Nice. Wow.
You know, I'm on the ground, umbrella huddled up, like my shoulders to my ass are just soaked through. I don't know. I got a reputation for getting wet. I don't know if you saw that. There was a video
of me. I saw you, the picture of you, but I don't know where that photo is of you, of the actual photo that you shot on that day.
Which that one, that's at the Palace, but there's another one floating around of me, like in the water.
Yeah, it was at Clark's Landing.
Yeah, Clark's Landing. I had my Maria go get the bride and groom. I went in my car and changed into my swimsuit.
Yeah.
Met them at the dock, took the photos. She went back inside. I went back into my car, changed again, like it was a, you know, telephone booth, and then I went back into reception.
Yeah. I was there the next day at Clark's Landing. Did you see what Josh did yesterday? And I happen to have seen what you did. Okay, Drew.
Yo.
Be nice, Drew.
I'm nice. Well,
Josh, you did answer a lot of things, but I don't know that you ever said how you kind of developed your style.
It's constantly evolving, for one. Technology and things we can do. Like when I started, like high ISO was 800. 30, you know, 1600. You can do some black and white grain. Drew? What are you doing? You've had too many beers.
Oh, that was a click. That was a click because I started with a 5D and that, like a 20D actually, and that was 800 ISO, was as high as you ever wanted to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about film. I'm not talking about. I mean,
I shot. Obviously, that was right before film.
T Max, Josh. T Max.
You had your young Josh, but at the same time, like 800 on ISO or ASA is essentially the same thing.
Essentially,
you know. But it's we Jeff and I shot the same. Like we shot 400 ASA with his cameras and stuff like that. But I mean, like you know, it is the same thing. Like in 5D, the original 5D, you didn't want to go over 1,000. Are you fucking? It was bad.
Yeah, it was horrible. Like 3,200. Like, oh, it's 3,200. Nice and grainy. Nice and grainy. That's what it is.
It wasn't grain on in a digital camera. It was noise. It was lines going across the camera. It was bad.
Yeah. So that's as the technology has changed, my lighting's changed. Like nowadays, like our flashes are just, they communicate. We can control the power remotely and everything, but we've been using off camera light, you know, with our Quantums and everything forever ago.
You say Quantums? Oh God, that brings back memories.
There you go. I'll break out the Normatrons, you know, Normatrons.
All of that was heard. It's wonderful. You know what I mean? So here's some advice.
So can we use that?
Any kind of virtual chats, don't do it in the tree. Just stick to wherever you are right now. It's but
yeah. It has nothing to do with the tree. It has to do with the phone.
Okay, you, it could be. Yeah, I believe that.
You told me I could use my phone.
Drew, what about for you? Now, obviously, you had a lot of influence, right? You worked for someone. Happens to be here. Yeah.
New school soul. My background is in graphic design and digital media. Mm-hmm. So I started off school doing graphic design and my whole thing, if you look at my photos and whatnot, I know the ones you kind of showed me earlier weren't so much composition based, but a lot of my stuff is very composition based. You know, I find the light, I find the location, I put the couple into it. That's my theory. You know, it's very kind of methodical when it comes to how you work things. I know I've been drinking a lot. I'm going to try to use big words. So just
I love it. Well, let me show the image that you were talking about. I love this, man.
So as far as graphic design goes, I'm very color theory based as well. So using color to kind of accent a couple of verse complementary color schemes and whatnot that's actually a small video light that is Kelvin based. So as you being a videographer, you know, and all of us being photographers, we all know there's a very big difference between daylight balanced and, warm or interior tungsten balance. So when you use those kind of things, you can kind of use warm lights being yellows and oranges to kind of go across blues and purples. So this one bride that you just showed was very into books, and she's very into, the magical realm, you know, and all that kind of that stuff, which is, I love it. You know,
I love that, man. Yeah.
So my entire ideal for any couple that I capture is to show who they are in their life, because you can take a picture of anybody and make them look the way you want them to look. But my ideal is to make them be who they are, so future generations know who their grandparents were. You can be like, oh, I'll make you look like a rock star. But if they're not a rock star, it doesn't make much sense, you know?
Right.
If they're more of a, I say nerd in a very well
way. I know how you mean it. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're a nerd and they love these kind of these books and everything else, and that's who they are, I want to kind of portray them in that sense. And the best way I can do that is to make it impactful. So when a kid looks at 50 years or 100 years from now, they have this idea of who they were, and it's in a way that's done well or right. And that's not cheesy, like a picture frame in front of their face, not to diss anybody that does it, but it's, you know, that's a trend. That's right. Not a technique. And I want people to see that for what it is. So my whole deal is to make sure that I show the couple for who they are and build off of what they are. So I'm documentary style as far as things happen during the day, but I also want to describe who they are as a person prior to their wedding and post their wedding, because that's just as important as it is to show their wedding day as it unfolds, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I develop my style. And I try to stay away from trending ideas or this or that, you know, going lighter area or darker moody. You know, you can kind of pick your couples and see how they are. If they're more, I love Halloween. All right, maybe a little more dark and moody. I love springtime and planting flowers. All right, a little more light and airy. You know, and you don't have to follow a certain trial or a certain style to give them a trend or to show who they are. And that's my biggest thing for documenting somebody's life, because that's what we're all here to do, is show future generations who they are.
Yeah, I remember we shot a wedding together in Philadelphia, and we went into a bar because the bar was important to them and in their story. And, you know, we hung out, and that was a part of their story. So we made that a thing, you know?
So my big thing is, whenever I talk to a couple, I email them and I call them and be like, look, tell me about your life. Tell me who you are. Tell what's important to me. You know, if it's 10 minutes out of the way, let's plan for an extra 10 minutes in the day and let's go do it. Because people don't understand who you are until you describe it to them. And they don't understand who you are until we have images or some type of written documentation, whatever it might be, to show that to them. But when it comes to the wedding day, let's make sure we capture everything that kind of describes your life and all that kind of good stuff. You know, it gets very deep, but the very plain and short of it is let's shoot what's important to you.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to show another Jeff picture here, and then I have some fun questions for you after these next pictures. Okay. Josh, I'm sorry, your second picture was not shot by you, but we'll roll with the punches here on that. Here's another Jeff one, right?
Yeah.
Make it be Jeff. Okay.
My name's up there. Yes.
That's I don't know, man. This technology has been horrific today. Anyway, tell me a little bit about this. This is beautiful, man. I love this.
That's an old one, man.
Well, you make it so that nobody can. You have all these awesome pictures on your site, but you can't copy them. You know what I mean? No right click.
Where did you even find that one?
I don't know, man. Yeah.
My God, dude. Like, yeah. That was. Yeah, actually. I want to repost that one. That's a cool one.
Yeah, I dig that, man. Where's that?
That's at, my God, that place in Somerset.
That's like when anytime someone asks you, like any of us, where were you yesterday? Where
Imperia.
Was that?
Yeah. That's Imperia.
We don't know Imperia. The answer to the questions.
Yeah, that's Imperia. And I feel bad if I don't remember the couple's names, but those are obviously their initials. And there was like a table that had those lights that they're holding, the D and the K. And, you know, it's just a simple go out, stand in front of those highlights, and you'll become a silhouette. I mean, there's nothing really to it.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. That was it. Yeah, that's not much. It's just, you know, let's go out and stand in front of a highlight, and I'll make you a silhouette.
Okay, so. But in fairness, you see this. A lot of guys don't see that. A lot of girls don't see that. A lot of photographers don't see this space and see it this way, right?
I don't know.
You know. I mean, what is it? Anywhere when you go, you've been to some places 10,000 times. How are you finding that new nook and cranny? How are you finding that new spot at the Pleasantdale or whatever?
You know what? I'm not. I'm trying to capture the people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a little bit more away from the eye candy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like I want, like Drew was saying, like, I want to capture who they are. If somebody does something, they have a like or something, that's what I want to capture. You know, like I think too many people get caught up in the location. Like, you know, you go on a group chat and it's like, I'm going here. What are some great spots to shoot? And it's like, don't worry about the spot. Capture the people.
Was there a period of time, do you think, where it was about location and how can we make location look good? Do you think that was
it's still
at one point.
I still think it is, but I think that's where people don't differentiate themselves from what's important on the wedding day. Like I could take a picture in a parking lot, and if it's capturing who those people are, it's going to be the best photo they've ever had. You know, or creating a moment, you know, JD is a lot more handoff. I don't dictate the day, but I allow moments to happen in a way and I'll kind of set something up so a moment does happen. Because I think during the wedding day, people get lost in the stress of it and they're not in their head and they're crazy. And if you tell them, just stop, breathe. This moment's about to happen. You're going to see your daughter for the first time in her dress, or you're a mom helping her in a dress. Like, I'll tell a mom, relax. Like, you're stressing the bride out. You know, what's the red balloon?
Hey, real quick. Sorry. Come here, Terry. Okay, this is Terry. She's a little bit having fun. But, okay, well, don't come over here. Terry runs Firm Birkin. She's right behind me. I'm over at...
What's up, Terry?
What is this?
I'm over at Gabe's 50th birthday party right now. They're my quarantine partners. So I only have like four people I see.
Nice.
And they happen to be some of them. but okay, leave. Go. Bad dog.
AD, this is your cover photo on Facebook, so you know what's coming. Tell me what this is.
That's
New Jersey.
That's the palace at Somerset.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
That's my future. So, I mean, I do some adventure sessions here and there just to build portfolio to kind of dive into that one day down the road.
I love it, man. Yeah.
But if you're going to pull any other photos, portraits are like a necessary evil for me. I don't really like them.
Sorry, man. I just pulled what was ever available to me as quickly as possible. You know, if you guys want, and if you have photos near you, you can pull them and we can share them if you guys want to do that. But it's a challenge, but it's doable. Or you can send them to me. But anyway, where is this anyway?
That's Death Valley. So I had always kind of known I wanted to do a photo like that. And I was on one of my road trips, and I knew I had a couple that lived out in L.A. So I just shot them an email and asked them if they wanted to come and do a post-wedding session out in Death Valley. And they were all for it. So they came out and stayed. We actually ended up – that picture is not Photoshopped. So most of the sand dune pictures you see, there's footprints everywhere. We were supposed to do a sunset session the night before, and a sandstorm came through and scratched that session. But the added benefit to it was that it blew all the footprints off the sand dunes.
Wow.
Nice.
Put a toning down. So we were out there at 4 a.m. Left room, got out of his car at 4 a.m, jumped around like a little kid and excited on Christmas morning. By the time we got over the 4th dune, we looked back, couldn't find him. Waited. We saw a ham pop up over the dune behind us. He crawled up over the top, vomited. Yelled at us that he can't go any further. And I'm like, Daniel, you need to get your fucking ass moving. I brought you out here. We have 15 minutes till sunrise, and you got to put your damn tux on.
Wow.
Pull it up. And his wife had hiked out there in her wedding dress, just tramping up the dunes and down in her wedding dress. And she basically shamed him into getting out there.
That's great, man. Great story.
I love that, man. Josh. Okay. So Josh didn't shoot this.
Is that true?
It's nice.
That's true.
Yeah. Who shot it?
Devin.
I can't believe my mouth.
Yeah, Jeff. This guy pulls one of my recent weddings, and it was shot by an associate.
How would I know that,
Tom? Well, why didn't you put Devin's name on it? I'm sure she would love credit.
Is credit for one. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we're not getting into a debate about that. There is credit. There you go.
Credit.
But yeah, no, I love that image. That guy is so cool. He rebuilds these cars. Their engagement session is up there if you want to find that. I did that. She is a professional horse jumper. Really cool couple. I love them.
Professional what, Josh?
Horse jumper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Got it, JD. Let's see. Okay. And Drew, I'm going to show the other one that I had up while you share a story about this. And
I'm getting bread thrown at me right now. That's not bread.
Balloons.
Why? So there's been lots of champagne shots.
That looks like Tisman's.
Here they go. Tell me about champagne shots.
Jeff, you want to say about champagne shots?
I learned everything I need to know about champagne from Drew.
Oh, there you go.
Aww.
That was very nice.
I mean, my whole theory is to show who the couple is, but the secondary is to give a couple these impact images that kind of are beyond belief. You know, there's a certain fantasy when it comes to weddings, right? You know, it's, oh my God, my dress is so beautiful. My text is so great. I have the flowers and blah, 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 and this and that. It's like, I'm celebrating like a crazy man. I want to give the fantasy along with the very simple idea of it being real. So when I started looking at different things, and this goes down to like ESPN magazines, when you look at the ESPN magazine shot of an athlete, you see like this crazy wrap light and everything else. So when I shoot my shots, the great thing about technology is from 5 years ago to now is you can use 5, 10, 15, 18 flash or 15 flashes for Canon, but it will really kind of envelop a person in flash. So I started talking to somebody. I was like, you want to do like a crazy cool like champagne shot? And they're like, oh my God, that sounds great. And I was like, all right, well, let me know if you want to do it. Cause that's my big thing is I don't want to force it on somebody. Don't force it onto the couple, because if it's who they are, it's who they are. If it's not, I don't want to do it. You know?
Yeah.
So I set up lights. I have two lights on both sides. I have a backlight. I have a front light that's hiding like all the crazy pieces of, oh God, sorry. I've been drinking a little bit.
Okay, that's all right.
Hey, well, no drink. All the champagne in the air. And I put one in front to bounce off of a reflector. So this way you have softer light on the couple, right? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 flashes. And when you fire the shot, you're shooting, you know, as many shots as you possibly can as fast as the flash can reach trigger.
Yeah.
So it gives you this animated, almost idyllic idea of a champagne photo. And that one right there was that couple was awesome. They actually brewed beer with me. So I made beer with them, and they had it at their wedding for their special beer. But the champagne shot was at the end of the night, and it was over at what's the place over at
Liberty House?
Yeah, I was gonna say Liberty House. Yeah,
thank you, everybody.
Every single one of us knew where it was.
Yeah. Over at Liberty House, but we backlit it, and we set the lights up and everything else. So it gives this kind of like super expressive shot. And the funny thing is I submitted a shot similar to the DSLR lounge, and they thought it was Photoshopped. They're like, I don't understand why there's so many lights going off. And I'm like, it's not supposed to be a in the moment shot, you know, right? Because obviously if that happens, you can try your best to capture it.
Yeah.
But if you want a couple to celebrate and the ideal of, you know, having a celebration being with champagne at the end of a race is very instinctive to our thing, because it's been around for 100 years since people have been doing NASCAR and all those other, you know, races. Sure. Yeah, we're celebrating, we're winning, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we kind of want to show, you know. So it's a symbolic gesture of the excitement that's going on with the wedding day.
Sure.
But at the same time, like I said, it's not for every couple. You know, if that's not who you are and that's not something you would do, I don't want to do it, you know? Yeah.
All right, so JD sent one. So Josh and Drew, you can Facebook message me an image that you want to choose. No, Jeff and Drew. I got you. Josh, I'm sorry. Josh, I got Jeff and Drew. If you want to Facebook message me a image you want to pick, you're welcome to do that. But I'm going to show you what JD brought. He gave us a few. We're going to go with this one.
Yeah, I mean, so this is where I make my money as a business, and I make my living as a photographer. This is kind of back when I originally started really diving into things with my couples. This image is not an award winner. It's barely a portfolio image. It's not really great.
But they love it. They love it. That's what matters.
Well, they love it because in all the stuff leading up to the wedding, we had so many conversations, and we eventually get onto the conversation of why they're getting married in this church. They're getting married in this church because this is the childhood church she went to. This is where her parents got married. Tell me more about why that's important to you. Well, that's so important to me because my mom passed away 10 years ago.
Mm.
Every time my dad and I walk into this church, we feel like she's looking down at us. So to me, I now know that them walking into this church is more important than shooting the processional. So I have the second photographer shooting the processional so I can stay back there with them. I'm photographing them. They open the door to come in. That stained glass window lights up with the figure looking down at them. And this is all happening in like 5 seconds, but I listen back to these calls the morning of the wedding. It's all fresh in my head. I go, holy shit. And I stumble back like 5 steps, almost fall backwards over the last pew in the church, get one photo, this photo, and then they walk into the church. So when they come in to see all these pictures, they have no idea I took it. They had no idea what happened. Mm-hmm. When they come in, I show the reveal, and it still gets me like choked up. But everybody just broke down.
Yeah.
Because that's really what matters in weddings, which is why I said the portraits are a chore for me, because it takes time away for me being able to create truly memorable moments for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man. That's an awesome story. Beautiful. And you know what's funny? When some people get into photography, most of them are going through the motions of the church. They have to get out of the room so quickly or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And you taking that extra second to realize that conversation, that this church is not just the church. You know, it's not just a part of the day. I think that's super important. So, yeah, I love that. That's awesome. All right, Josh sent one. Okay, so I think he shot this one. Let's see. Here we go. So, Jeff, I think you're the only one that needs, if you want to send me one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did Drew send you?
He just sent me one. Yeah.
I just went through and I found that. That was like the last image posted on my Facebook. So I just grabbed that. You know.
Yeah, cool. Talk to me about this. Tell me what we're looking at here.
We did the day wedding. This is a park wedding, 10 people, and then they invited me to the after party as well. So I hung out there. It was a small wedding, but then we went up to the hotel. It was like 15 people, and I was struggling for like that. Wow, like that one image I want to show off for them. Because it was kind of straightforward, nothing crazy. And it was now, this is like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, all right, I got it. You two stand here. And there's a party going on around us at the same time. And I'm just making a pose in the corner. And I'm pointing my camera out the window. And they're like, what are you doing? And this is what I pulled out. And it's like, I finally got something that, because they love New York, the skyline, that's their view. So I always kind of look for each day to come away with something that's part of them. I always ask people, like, tell me things about you that are important, not just the church or the venue. Like, if you love certain things, that's what I want to include.
Yeah. So, that's beautiful, man. Nice stuff. I like that. All right. Okay, Drew, you sent me this. This is what you want to send me.
Is it Tisman? No.
So one of the crazy things I do when I shoot weddings and stuff like that is I actually...
Jeff looked up to make sure it wasn't his.
I did not. Let me see this. I'm looking for a picture to send you. You should have gave me the homework before, you know?
Jeez, man. This son of a bitch better not have taken one of my pictures. Is it mine?
Fucking A, man.
You can see me in the photo. I'm right there in front of the couple. So one of the funny things I shoot a wedding is they always be like, hey, do we need a second photographer, third photographer, fourth photographer? I'm like, okay, well, I shoot with my assistant, who is Jim, who commented with the little beer cheers earlier tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Jim essentially takes all, like JD said, he takes the safe photos. He takes up the aisle shots, whatever else. Awesome, awesome, awesome dude. He's been with me for over 10 years now.
Good dude.
Yeah, great dude. But my big thing is I do a lot of things. I shoot with four cameras, which sounds insane. My big thing is whenever I take photos, I actually set cameras. I call it camera-less stick. And I set cameras up on the stick, up high, remote trigger to shoot the overall shots whenever I'm getting a photo. So that photo I just sent to you is actually a New Year's photo. And my big thing is at New Year's Eve at midnight, I want to capture the couple. So you can actually see me in the bottom of that frame shooting the couple, cheersing everybody.
Yeah, totally.
But that is the fisheye shot of the entire room right at midnight. So when I'm taking photos, it's remote triggering. So whenever I do anything dealing with any couples for the important moments, I always have external cameras shooting the, I call them the dumb photos, which sounds bad for promotional purposes. Essentially, they're the composition-based photos, which they're not specifically meant for subject.
Right.
You know, so like when JD or I or Jeff or Josh or whatever are shooting the couple like in their face, like that's the moment. But there's also an ambient, you know, or ambience or ambient shot that's going overall for everything that's going
sure.
on. So that photo right there is one of my favorite shots that I've taken in the last couple of years. And that just shows, you know, there's confetti going over top. There's a couple cheersing all their couples. There's people kissing in the background. And meanwhile, at the same moment, I'm shooting them. You know, it's all about the moment, but also about the overall moment. And that's my favorite part about shooting, documenting weddings, is giving the ambiance to what's going on.
Totally. Jeff, how are you doing?
How do you want me to send this to you?
He's like, I got a message.
I finally found it. How do you want me to send it?
Facebook message or text, whatever.
I'll send it Facebook right now.
Okay. I don't know who this question was for, but we had a question pop up here.
It was for JD in that photo with the church.
Okay, so we kind of answered that. Was that semi-staged, or were you just shooting fly on the wall and got that great shot? We kind of answered that. Yeah,
I don't see anything ever.
Drew, I have a dumb photo. My favorite dumb photo like that, though. We set up a remote camera at Florentine, and it took a photo of Tim dropping his 24-70 off the balcony.
I almost bought somebody at Florentine, so we'll just.
Oh boy, I do want to get into some of these kind of like.
I just sent it, Pete.
Yeah, crazy fun stories.
Oh, Drew, should we tell our famous story
about this?
Jeff, where did you send it?
Facebook. I Facebook messaged it to you.
No, you didn't.
I mean, there's only like five people watching, Jeff.
You did not. You did not send it.
You're not sneaking. I'm staring at you.
I got 12 here, so I don't know about you, but I got a bunch more than what you're seeing.
Jeff and I went to a go-go club.
Hold on, I did send it, Pete.
Got it.
True. What are you doing, dude? Nobody needs to look up your nose, man.
Is this the famous store we're talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, dude.
It's the go-go club. We're not going to tell her what bride that was, so this way it's safe now because it's
No. The bride, two brides will remain nameless.
All right, before we get into a crazy bride story, let's look at Jeff's picture because it just came through. So that's not it. Here we go. Yeah. So this is kind of what you're talking about, Jeff. Yeah.
Yes. This goes back to, you know, ever since my daughter was born, you know, talk about sappy, you know, I want this moment with her, you know, and I think, you know, again, allow for this moment to happen and people are crazy and, you know, give the dad his time or their mom, whoever is close to this bride. And again, going back to JD, he was saying, and Drew and John, whatever we're all saying, you know, get to know the people and the families. And, you know, this is the dad's first look with his daughter. She's going to get married and leaving him. And he's not his little girl anymore. And it just, that's what I want. I want moments like that. You know, the eye candy stuff is cool for Instagram and Facebook, but no one's going to care, man. Like 5-10 years from now, this is the moment that they're both going to have the rest of their life.
Jeff, you know? I have a question for you.
What?
Did you tell them where to stand or what to do?
No. I go outside. I talk to the dad and say, hey, you know, you're about to, you know, I get him, you know, everyone's all crazy. Ah, I'm going to go see her. You know, it's like, dude, just breathe for a second. Your daughter's going, you know, and I just kind of give my little talk and I say, just wait a minute. And I just say, all right, when you're ready, come in. And that's it.
This is a conversation I love to have with photographers, especially like when I taught those workshops recently. And I think I just sent you a Facebook message, Pete, with the
The
father seeing the bride, which is kind of a good one to talk about right now.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'll get it up here. Hang on. Go ahead.
The moment that everybody stages, and I can't
never
the life of
never, never like, in a million years, dude.
Right? Why stage it? Why make the dad think about what he needs to do when he comes in the room? And why?
What do you mean? What do they stage? What do you mean they stage
right.
it?
Is this what you're talking about?
So this hotel room, right? This is the Bellevue in Philly. So there's beautiful windows over to your left side on this. You can see she's in terrible light. She has her back to the windows. But I don't care. Like, as photographers, this is what we're there for.
Yeah.
Have
this moment, like there's no photographer there. Like it's about you and your dad.
Yep.
I will document it. If I had staged that photo, her goddaughter is the junior bridesmaid that peeked through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Also his granddaughter.
Yeah.
That would have never happened if you staged it.
Yeah.
So, like gifts from the photojournalism gods, if you just let it happen and let these people have their moments without being so concerned with what would be perfect lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Jeff, and for you and John, is that something that you evolved to?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'm constantly learning, you know, the, like I said, mentioned before, my two favorite photographers in the industry now are Lanny and Erica Mann. And I think their photos are insane. Like they just capture moments and I just love listening to them and hearing them talk about it. And it just gives me a whole, you know, it's been for years now. But you know, I've always tried to capture moments, but maybe when I first started, it was more about portraits. It still is. I still love doing the portraits. But once it's done, I tell my couples, I don't even want to talk to them the rest of the day. I don't want them to know I'm there, you know, unless they need me for something, of course. But otherwise, just ignore me. I'm just a friend here with a camera. Just ignore me for the rest of the day. And eventually they do, you know. Yeah. One thing I learned, I took a workshop with Ben and Aaron Christman years ago. And one thing they said that was amazing, the first thing I do, I go into a room, I go up to the bride and I put my hand on her and say, hey, great to see you. I've broken the barrier. I've broken that close barrier. I put my arm on her shoulder or something, said hello, and now I stand off. And if I come in close, I've already been there, you know? So when I'm getting in with my camera, I'm there already. So it breaks that little barrier and stuff. And that, you know, that's why I say about education, there's so many amazing photographers out there, and just learn and just learn and just take little pieces of everything they do and make it your style.
Yeah.
You know?
JD, so, what about you? Is that something that you came to, or is that something you always wanted to do, was to kind of come at it that way?
That was how I kind of wanted to come at it from the very get-go, because that was how I felt like I would want my own wedding photographed. I don't want to be on a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Live my day and have someone give me photos back to tell me the story of what actually happened on my day, not their version of what my day should have looked like.
Yeah. How about for you, Drew? Is that something that you're coming to? You've been talking a little bit about it as well, showing some of your images that way. Is that something that that evolved?
Wait. Sorry. I was.
That's why I called on you. That's actually why I called on you, because I knew you weren't paying attention.
I'm like the kid in class.
You just got the kid in class. Yeah. Josh, what about you? Is that something that you evolved to as well, as wanting to get that kind of out of people? And
yeah, because it was really simple. Like when we first started, like everything was posed. Like you took two, look at Drew kicking it back. Is this a drinking game?
No, it's not a drinking game. You're the only player in the competition right now. Yeah, but I'm willing to play. But
we would like do 200 frames at a wedding, and it was all posed. Everything was, and then it just evolved more and more to become more of a mix of just. Hold on 1 second.
What is happening?
Sorry. It just became more of a mix of what's happening.
Yeah.
Depending on the time of day, reception, I don't want to talk to them. You know, not that I don't want to talk to them, but I want them to enjoy their day, and I'm just there to document what happens. Totally. Ceremony as well, getting ready as well.
Well, anytime I've got any kind of industry together, the one question that I've been asking them is, if it's a fun, it's a little bit lighthearted. What is the one thing at a wedding that you say to yourself, again with this shit, what is your fucking pet peeve at fucking weddings? JD, what you got?
Oh, shit.
I got like 10. So
I can think of 100. I said you can't
say, for those of you that don't know me, that doesn't count. All right.
Yeah, that's one of them. But
I said
recently limo drivers, the dramatics.
Oh, the limo.
The fucking limo driver when they take her out of the fucking car. You would think that it's the father of the bride, the way they bring her out. And then the fucking up the fucking dress and the fucking are you kidding me?
Especially high speed. I'll tell the limo driver, like, hey, look, everything's a documentary. I just need you to sit in the car. Well, I'm going to help her get out, and then we'll fluff her dress and we'll pose it all. And I'm like, no, dude, I need you to sit in this car and not do anything. Then they get out of the car and they fluff her dress, and I'm like, guess what? She's getting all of these. You're a giant asshole. I warned you. I'm sorry.
That's great, man.
But I mean, and it's the same thing for video, too, when they're about to go in. There's always an attendant or the limo driver, which is fucking crazy to me. You know what I mean? I get the attendant, the church lady doing this, but the limo driver up on the bride's ass. It's
limo driver once where one of my favorite things to document, and I talked to every couple before the wedding day about this. Like, hey, you guys are going to have alone time. You're going to have time that's just devoted to you two. And it's so precious on your wedding day, but it's also so great for your photos. Like, you're going to love those photos. Do you want me to document that, or do you want me to leave you alone? 90% of the couples say, I want you to document that.
Right.
So I had one. The best time is right when they walk out of the ceremony. Those first 3 minutes after they get married, before everybody comes and tries to pull their arms off in different directions. I had a limo driver once who stood in the lobby of the church with two bottled waters, and they walked out of the church and he literally came running out to him from the door. I was like, here you guys go. Congratulations.
It's almost like they go to like a casting call for what a limo driver looks like. They're virtually, I don't care where you are and what state and what country you're shooting in. They all look, they have that same attitude and routine. Drew, what do you got?
Oh, I'm sorry. My battery is about to die on my laptop, so I brought it over to the house. But I just want to say, I mean, number one, limo driver is yes. Yeah. Sure. Like, I once had to fight a limo driver to be like, yo, her dad and her are having like this very emotional moment right now. Stay the fuck away from them. And I literally came up to the guy and was like, stay the fuck away from them. And he was like, no, I got this. I got it. I'm like, she's not even at the fucking door. I understand, like, oh, if I provide them with stuff, they'll give me a tip.
Blah, right. Blah, blah. Yes. The other thing limo driver does is when they make the ask. You know, I don't know if you know, but you only got 5 hours, and they go through the whole.
nice accent right there.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much how it goes. Yeah,
it's like the idea of, and Jeff is going to kill me for this, but because he's like, I've been thinking about this the entire time. Gazebos, bears, all that kind of like cliche idea from weddings that we don't really shoot. And he just make a smile. But
I'm with you guys totally on limb, but anybody that just kills moments.
Yeah.
You know, people in the church, people in the venues with the champagne glasses, the second they walk down, like they, because they're so just hoarse with blinders, they're like, we need to finish, get them in cocktail hour, get them into the reception. They don't let the moments just breathe and happen. And it's man.
Right. Even another thing for video,
because my battery is literally about to die.
Put a plug in, Drew.
Bye, Drew. I know. I prepared for at least an hour, and now we're at like an hour and a half.
And there was a lot of technical issues with somebody who had a problem with a treehouse. So sorry about that.
My bad.
Anyway, listen, man. Before you leave, thank you so much for doing this, and I think the world of you, man. You know,
you guys are all great. I love all of you, and have a great night. And hopefully we will all be able to work together soon. If not in a wedding intentionally, then maybe we'll just go out.
So hold on, Drew. Just want November 8th, right? I just
Drew is leaving. By the way, for anybody watching, Drew is leaving, but we're sticking with the rest of these stories, and then we're
going to the 7th. I'm so sorry. I'm at 3% battery life.
Okay.
Oops.
Okay. That's a countdown now, Drew. Okay. Right. Later, buddy. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
All right. See you, man.
But yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, even for like the, you know, for video, when, you know, someone's making a speech and they're taking dinner orders, it's just it's so annoying.
Yeah. Or when there's when someone's doing a toast and some of the people go and talk to the bride and groom while they're getting talked to.
It's bizarre.
Hell, man. Like the people just don't think, you know.
Josh, I, I, I,
You got 10 of them off the bat, I'm sure.
Yeah. I do. But there's the first one. It's hard to say this without it sounding creepy, but you'll get it when I get to the bend. Okay. So when you're like stalking the flower girl, like exactly. And you're just sitting there waiting for them to do something or whatever. And then, you know, Aunt Karen comes, like, grabs their head.
Look at the turns camera.
Yeah. Like, look, and I will literally just go and walk away. So,
yeah.
But actually recently I had a DJ. I could not believe he did this. Bride, groom, cake, hands behind their back. And I'm like, did we just time warp?
That's great.
I blank stared him and clicked. And he looks at me like, I was like, no, I'm not. Click. I took a photo, and I actually nailed it. I couldn't believe I did. But I just blank stared at him. He's like, yeah, take the photo. I'm like, all right, fine.
God.
But so, when you were talking about gazebos, the Imperia, that photo of yours earlier, Jeff, that used to have a
was that any, I don't know. Was that it? No, that wasn't it. Was that it? Yeah, this one.
They had a gazebo in the middle of the parking lot. Yeah, that place, its previous name, I'm not going to
know. Oh, yeah, what was it, dude?
It was McAteer's, I think.
Shit, okay.
They had a white little gazebo in the middle of the parking
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, I remember that.
On cinder blocks, and they're like, this is our photo section.
God.
Yeah, sure. Let's do this.
Photo section. Let me ask you a question, and this is probably the last one, and then we'll say some nice things. But when you are on Facebook or wherever you're looking at other photographers, and I don't mean this critically, when you're looking at other photographers, what is the one thing kind of you guys look at and say, no, they don't get it, they're not getting it? What is the one maybe cliche sort of photography? What's something someone can improve on? If there's a student of the game sort of watching the three of you talking at this point, start with JD.
Well, he'll be better at this.
I mean, this is such a like double-edged sword. When you first start shooting weddings, you look at photographers all the time and you try to mold yourself, and you'll do workshops and you'll try to mold yourself. And everything's kind of this fluid form. I think at some point in time, you just have to understand what you want to do. If you want to create high-end editorial wedding styles, you should stop looking at wedding photographers and you should start pulling out every Vogue and GQ and every high-end fashion magazine you could find and studying what they do that makes these pictures so great.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's been photojournalism. So I pulled every photojournalist I could find, all the Magnum photographers, Magnum contact sheets. Sebastian Salgado has been like my inspiration of a lifetime. Non-wedding people to look at and study what genre of weddings it is that you love that made people who actually do that genre in the real world successful.
Right. I think that's really great advice. I say that to videographers too. If there's if you want to do this, you should look at certain filmmakers.
Right.
That is your style that you want to emulate a little bit. Yeah, I think that's great advice. Jeff, what about you?
It's the tough question because I sometimes come off being too honest to people and they take it the wrong way. They're not like, again, going back to capturing the people, it's about eye candy in a way. And it's just, look, I used a flash, but why did you use a flash? Look, I edited this to the upteenth way and it's Photoshopped to shit. But I mean, I don't know. I just think people should learn the camera. Like Drew's not here anymore, but Drew worked with me for like 7 years or something before he went and shot his own wedding.
Yeah.
He learned photography. He learned about the camera and how it works. Not, hey, I bought a camera, I'm a photographer today. Like I see people make posts all the time and everybody, yeah, it's great. It's this, it's that. And it's not. And it's like, that's why, like, sometimes I get maybe like, oh, you're so harsh, whatever. But it's like, I want to be told if something sucks. You know, you got to be thick-skinned to grow and learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think people do that. And you know, Adrian, you interviewed Adrian. She was with me for years, you know, and learned photography and, you know, learn how to use the camera. It's not just about using a flash and, you know, people make a post and it becomes like the shot and you just go wedding to each week and somebody does the same exact photo, you know?
I was going to say, I think the other problem is repetition, right?
Yeah.
If you go to Hoboken for your engagement shoots, you use the same wall, the same.
But again, it goes back to capturing the couple. Doesn't right. matter the wall. Oh, you know, if I shoot, I do a wedding, it's in Manhattan. Hey, Jeff, should we go to Times Square? Is that lame? It's like, do you have any of those photos of that couple on your wall? No. Right. It's like, who gives a shit? It's your wedding day, you know? But going back, it's like they need to just, you know, capture that and everything. It doesn't matter how many times you're shot at a place. It's capturing the people.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They literally set the same tilt head of the pose and all this stuff at the same wall, the same thing. Whereas, you know, let them do something different in front of that wall. You can use the wall. It's not the wall that's necessarily the problem. Yeah. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Well, just capturing the people. Like I said, parking lot, beautiful venue. It doesn't matter. You know, learn the craft, learn how to use the camera, learn how to use flashes, and then start breaking the rules and doing everything different. You know, people just jump into it too fast. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I just think it hurts you more than it's going to help you if you just try to rush into it in a way. You know,
I would ask Josh this question, but it looks like he's frozen up again. Josh. Anyway, listen, I'm all about gratitude these days, so we're going to lose Josh here. But is there anybody in your world that you guys want to shout out that was helpful to you in your growth and in your careers? JD.
I mean, we and Fearless, the Youth Run Foundation Workshop, was what changed my life. It taught me not photojournalism, it did teach me a lot about photojournalism, but more importantly, and this is what you kind of talked about, Jeff, enough skin to take critiques. It taught me how to self-critique myself, to understand what I was looking at and to understand what was important for a photograph and how to basically destroy myself for not doing a good enough job of telling the story in that photograph. Mm-hmm.
No, that's nice. JD, I just met you. I think you're a great guy. I'm really fascinated by you. So in terms of my gratitude towards you, I'm excited to maybe work with you one day and learn more about you. So thanks for doing it. Much appreciated. Yeah. It was a
good time, Jeff. Yeah,
for sure. Josh, anybody that was important in your growth and in your career that you want to say something nice about?
Well, John Maneri. Who's the guy who I started shooting with? He passed away a couple of years ago.
And that's it.
I was just like, and?
Am I back?
Go ahead.
I don't know what you heard. I worked for John Maneri at ESP Studios for 7 years before I started shooting on my own. So similar to Drew with Jeff, I owed him getting me into it. So
And for Josh, listen, man, you shot my wedding. I think you're an amazing person. When you came to my house and I met you the first time, I was like, I want to do what this guy does. I appreciated you so much. What's that?
How long ago was that?
That's a long time ago. Almost 15 years ago now, I think. But yeah, I just think the world of you. I think you're a great guy, and I love shooting with you. That's been a lot of fun as well to come on the other side with you. And I think you're always there to help somebody, and it's so awesome, and I'm very much appreciate you. So thanks for doing this too. Jeff, anybody you want to shout out? No.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, so this is my very first camera. My dad bought me, so my parents, first and foremost, like I said, I was not a scholar, and my dad recognized that photography was the only class I got an A in. Like, seriously, every year I got an A in photography, and he bought me this camera with a flash on it, probably like $100 at Bamberger's at the Brunswick Square Mall in New Jersey. So, and then it was that. And then, like I mentioned, when I first started, Danny Sanchez and Mark Weiss, because I couldn't believe you can make a living shooting rock and roll bands. And that's what I did. And I made a living at it, and it grew into this. And, you know, so Mark Weiss and Danny Sanchez are huge in my life. And
yeah, you know,
that's really
very cool.
I wouldn't even know what I'd be doing if I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell would I be doing if I wasn't doing photography right now? So
absolutely. And I think, and I'm going to say something about you, Jeff, but I think all of us would say to our couples, right, that obviously gave us the platform to grow our art or whatever we like to call it, and give us that playground sort of to work in. But for Jeff, man, listen, I met you at a time when I just kind of broke in and I was doing my own on my own, and you took me under your wing, even though I was video, which was crazy, you know, but I got so much inspiration from you, and I'm just so genuinely appreciative to all of those weddings that you just forced me on, you know, without even knowing much about me. And I love our honeymooner stuff. I love shooting weddings with you. This has really turned into a great friendship, and I'm so happy to have it. So
absolutely.
I can't wait to shoot another one with you at some
point. We got to have another talk one day and tell our Trenton Country Club.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
That'll be a good story, man, you know? Yeah. So
cool, man. All right, guys, this was really great. I had a lot of fun getting to know all of y'all.
JD.
Thanks for watching, if you've been watching, and we'll be back tomorrow night. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
guys.
Night.
Night.